Travel isn't just about seeing new places, it's about seeing with new eyes. Standing on a Turkish rooftop watching a whirling dervish, I witnessed a powerful metaphor for meaningful travel. One foot anchored in community, while the other steps around acknowledging the divine in all creation. This balance between rootedness and exploration captures what Rick Steves champions, travel that transforms us. Unlike typical vacations focused on attractions and comfort, purposeful travel challenges us to cross cultural divides and return home with fresh perspectives. In our polarized world, this approach offers something desperately needed, the ability to understand different viewpoints without abandoning our own values. Like medieval court jesters who mixed with common people and told uncomfortable truth to kings without punishment, travelers can gather insights from places where people live differently and bring back valuable perspectives that challenge our assumptions. Whether visiting Denmark, where high taxes come with high satisfaction, or Iran, where some willingly trade freedoms for religious governance, the rewards of travel only materialize when we open ourselves to different ways of seeing the world. The greatest travel rewards come from people you encounter, especially when you're willing to let them impress you with their culture. At home, we surround ourselves with similar people, but travel connects us with those we'd never meet otherwise. In Eastern Turkey, a woodcarver refused payment when I admired his work, declaring, "A man and his chisel, the greatest factory on earth." These encounters challenge our assumptions about what's normal. I was raised thinking cheese is orange and bread-shaped, but in France discovered hundreds of varieties and passionate cheese experts. I realized Europeans weren't showing off with their fine wine and cheese, but sharing their cultural pride. Since 9/11, Americans have become more fearful travelers, often mistaking fear for actual danger. I've been afraid before trips to Egypt, India, Iran, and Palestine, only to find my fears unfounded upon arrival. The risk of terrorism for American travelers is minuscule compared to everyday dangers at home. When we build understanding through travel, we make it harder for governments to demonize other cultures and for terrorists to recruit. Perhaps the most powerful things Americans can do to fight terrorism: travel extensively, learn about the world, and help our country fit less fearfully into this planet. The Balkan Peninsula offers profound lessons about ethnic conflict and reconciliation. Driving from Croatia's Dubrovnik to Mostar, I noticed flags marking ethnic territories: Croat checkerboard flags, Serbian flags with four C's, and the neutral EU-designed national flag nobody embraces. In Mostar, the reconstructed 400-year-old bridge symbolizes hope, though the city remains largely segregated. In a park-turned cemetery, every tombstone dates from 1993-1995, when people buried neighbors under darkness to avoid snipers. In those years, night was the time when we lived. We didn't walk, we ran. Despite tensions, locals share a common sentiment: I don't know how we could have been so stupid to wage that unnecessary war. This region demonstrates how religion and ethnicity divide people with shared ancestry and similar languages, their main distinction being religion, though few are actively religious due to communist-era atheism. Ethnic boundary markers appear everywhere, in graffiti, road signs, and even ATMs offering instructions in just one language. The Balkans teach us that failing to embrace pluralism means everybody loses. Yet hope persists. The bus between Dubrovnik and Montenegro runs again, and former enemies now host each other as guests. Denmark consistently ranks among the world's happiest countries, despite high taxes and modest resources. Danish society functions like a finely tuned engine, highly taxed, connected, and regulated. Unlike Americans who embrace Locke's individualism, Danes follow Rousseau's philosophy where everyone sacrifices for societal harmony. They avoid exploiting loopholes, knowing widespread cheating would collapse their system. This explains why Danes won't jaywalk even on empty streets. Social pressure reinforces collective responsibility. Europeans prioritize life over business, choosing fewer working hours for less income. While the EU's economy roughly matches America's with nearly twice the population, Europeans earn similar hourly wages but work less. This trade-off means accepting more modest housing, cars, and possessions in exchange for leisure time. As my Greek friend who left New York after 20 years observed, Europeans don't live to work, they work to live. Beyond economics, the EU's founders had a primary motivation: peace. By interweaving the economies of former enemies like France and Germany, they created interdependence that makes future European wars virtually impossible. Through travel to moderate Islamic nations like Turkey and Morocco, we can gain empathy and understanding of the world's fastest-growing religion. In Güzelyurt, an obscure Turkish village, I discovered rich traditions. A circumcision festival with a boy dressed as a prince riding a decorated donkey, and a wedding where the oldest couple blessed newlyweds with, "May you grow old together on one pillow." The village revealed beauty in apparent chaos. Those unfinished concrete buildings with exposed rebar were actually family investments for their children's future homes. As a Christian seeking peaceful coexistence with Islam, I found American media fills me with fear about Muslims, while actually traveling in Muslim countries fills me with hope. The centuries-old tension between Christendom and Islam resembles a human and bear sharing a forest. Both just want to gather berries, do a little fishing, raise their kids, and enjoy the sun, yet might kill each other without communication. In Iran, despite government propaganda mixing religious messages with anti-American rhetoric, I found the Iranian people's hospitality contradicted official positions. When my driver Majid exclaimed, "Death to traffic," in Tehran's gridlock, it made me reconsider the infamous "Death to America" chants, perhaps expressing frustration rather than literal wishes for destruction. Travel doesn't end when you return home. The ultimate souvenir is a broader perspective that fundamentally changes you. Returning from significant journeys, you sense that while others remain the same, you're different, both enlightening and unsettling. A wonderful byproduct of leaving America is gaining renewed appreciation for it. Through travel, I sampled different tempos, schedules, seasonings, business environments, and political systems. Some I prefer, others I'm glad don't follow me home. Travel becomes a political act when you apply your broadened perspective at home. While saving the planet alone feels overwhelming, taking concrete steps is empowering. Travelers recognize that U.S. elections impact poor people worldwide more than middle-class Americans. Rather than leaving my conservative church, I've stayed to contribute by teaching poverty awareness and challenging homophobia. I've translated global passions to local needs, using retirement savings to purchase housing for homeless mothers instead of collecting taxable interest. We travelers serve as both America's ambassadors to the world and the world's ambassadors to America. Like whirling dervishes, we keep one foot planted in our homeland while acknowledging our world's diversity. In this global age, the world's problems are our problems. The most meaningful journey isn't to distant lands, but bringing those experiences back to transform our communities, our nation, and ourselves.